Everybody turn to Matthew 5, 6. Matthew 5, 6. And somebody, when you get there, just go ahead and shout it out loud. There's a really cool song called that. Shout it out loud. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what?
Righteousness.
Shall be what? Filled or satisfied. Do you know what that says to me? This is absolutely amazing. That I can be as close to God as I choose to be. The God that we talked about last night, can you believe he just said that to me and you? You can be as close to me as you choose to be. Because if I am hungering and thirsting after his righteousness, he's going to satisfy me. He is going to fill me up. That is incredible that that is my choice. I can get as close to my God and Creator as I choose to be. In other words, what we've been talking about, I can be as spiritual as I choose to be. I can be the level of spirituality that I choose to be. Have you ever asked anybody around you if they think you're a spiritual person? Well, here's my challenge to you. I'd like you to, I know we all have friends that are not Christians, right? I mean, everybody in here probably has several friends that are not Christians, okay? They need to kind of know you a little bit, but ask them someday, and you got to get a little courage, but just say, do you think I'm a very spiritual person? And see what they say, okay? I don't know. Their definition of spiritual may be totally different, but it would be kind of interesting to get their input on that. I wish I was going to remember who said this, but you made a great point. It was somebody over here on this side of the room. I want to tell you a story. Is anybody, I love music. I love playing the piano. I love listening to music. And I believe it or not, I still listen to the music that my kids listen to. And I'll tell you why later in a lesson, because it's a really smart thing to do, actually. And I've just taught myself to like what they listen to. Does anybody know Dashboard Confessional? You do? Do you guys know? You know? What's your favorite song? Do you know? No? But you just like him? You've heard of him? It's a band now. It started off as just a guy. Do you know any of his songs that you like?
Star.
Yeah. I love Dashboard Confessional. Well, my son, when he was a junior in a high school, actually, I think it was a summer between his sophomore and junior year in high school, and this is when he started becoming really popular, which was about 4 or 5 years ago. And so he and some of his buddies got tickets to go to Oklahoma City and see Dashboard Confessional in person. Well, he was thrilled. This is Jordan. And so he was so pumped and so ready to go down there. He got down there, went to the concert. He called his mom. It was awesome. It was so cool, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, he got back to where he was staying with some a Christian family there. And one of the girls, some girl, called the family they were staying with, and they said, "You're not going to believe this, but we're down here at IHOP, and Dashboard Confessional is sitting right here eating. You got to come down and see him." And so my son and I don't think Randall was with him, but anyway, so they all jump and run down there, and they just casually walk in, you know, like, "Oh, you're here. Wow." And so they go over, and this guy just starts talking to him. I mean, he gives him his autograph. He's talking to him and, you know, just not a lot of time, maybe 5-10 minutes, but to them it was, you know, he hung the moon. Well, my son comes back, and he had already bought a guitar because he had been kind of thinking about dabbling in guitar. What kind of guitar player is this guy? Do you know? He's good, though, right? That was my point. Is he good or bad? He's really good. He's really good guitar player. And so what do you think my son did when he came back? He what? He picked up his guitar, and he played, 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 and he played. And he is very very good today. He plays with several different bands. He's played in some coffee shops in Searcy. But the point I'm trying to make is, and somebody over here made this, how do you know when you're in the presence of greatness? How do you know when you're in the presence of greatness? You come out different. I mean, that's the point. What?
Very impressed.
Very impressed to do what? Imitate. You imitate them, right? I mean, that's what my son did. He thought Dashboard Confessional was the cat's meow. Wait. The cat's pajamas? What is it? Is it? Well, what's the cat's pajamas? I thought that was a saying. It is? Okay. Well, all right. We're getting off the track here. Sorry. I get on these tangents. Okay. So the point is, when you are in the presence of greatness, you come away from that encounter wanting to imitate. You come away from that encounter wanting to be like that person, right? And that's how you can tell if you're a spiritual person, because people come away from their encounter with you not wanting to be like you, but what? Like God, like Christ. Where is that said? Does anybody know when Paul says, we follow us as we follow Christ?
In the Bible.
She's cheating. It's dependable. 1 Corinthians 11, I think, chapter 1. I mean, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, the presence of greatness, okay? So when you encounter people, and this could be one of your weaknesses, so you need to be aware of it. If people come away from being around you, being more like you, you need to recheck. You need to recheck, because that's not who they need to be imitating. Everything that a spiritual woman, that a godly woman does, points to Christ. He is always at center stage in the way she acts, in the way she dresses, in the words that come out of her mouth. She gives the glory to God. She gives the credit to God. And I am not talking about over and over and over coming out of your mouth, praise God, and all that sort of thing. But do you understand what I'm saying? They know why you are the way you are. Don't imitate me because of me. Imitate me because of the love that I have for the Father and that I want to glorify Him. So when people come away from knowing you and being around you, they better realize, because this is your job, that they've been in the presence of greatness, and it's not your greatness they've been in the presence of. Make sense? Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start the next part of my lessons. And we've kind of ended a section here, and I want to just give you a little bit of taste, because I want you to be thinking about it for just a few more minutes. And then when we pick up this afternoon, we're going to be going to 1 Thessalonians. I've been teaching this at home, and I think I told you this last night. So much of when I was preparing these lessons, I just kept going back to that and going back to that, and there's so much there I want to share with you, and we just may not get to it all, but that's okay. God has made a double commitment to me. And I love this word. I love these words. And I can't smell. I can't smell either. Commitment. Does it have one T or two? Are you sure? Does that look right? It's one? Oh. I know. Okay. Somebody go get a dictionary and look it up on lunch break. Okay. Double commitment. God has made a double commitment to me. He is my rock. And He is my pillow. So we're going to talk about rock and pillow theology. What is theology? What? Study of God. That's right. Give me some scriptures that tell you, well, no, I better define this for you first. My rock is my foundation. God has made a commitment to me and to you to be my foundation for my entire belief system, for my faith, for the way I live my life, all of those things. He has made a commitment to be my rock that everything is founded on. Here's one of mine. I'll give you an example. And you're going to have different rock scriptures. Okay? One of mine is Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you understand how foundational that would be to me? Do you understand how foundational that is to you? If I'm on God's side, I am on the winning side. Period. The end. There's no parentheses or anything there. 2 Peter 3. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. He wants me to be saved. He wants everyone to come to repentance, and he wants everyone to be saved. So tell me what some of your rock scriptures are. And if you want to think about it and bring them back, you can do that too. But I know you got them, and I know you have them in your heart. Yes? Romans 8. It's on the left-hand side of the page, two columns down. Hold on. It is Romans 8, 31. And then 2 Peter, wait, did I? Yes, I did say 2 Peter 3. 3:9. Yeah, I was going to say 3, bottom of the page. Yes, 3:9. Thank you. Okay, so now we know. All right, there we go. Committed has two T's.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Okay, how about that? Fill in the blank. Cool. All right, I should have looked that up. All right, so rock scriptures. Who has another rock scripture?
I don't know where it sounds, but God is love.
Okay. 1 John 4:8, probably, or 7. 7 or 8. What? 1 John 4. Who else has a rock scripture?
I have one.
Okay.
Psalms 121:3. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep.
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
I don't remember where it's at. I think it's in Psalms somewhere. But he is my shield and my strength.
Okay.
It has something about shield.
Okay.
I haven't read it.
I'm thinking of that one too.
It was a good one.
Yes. He is my shield and my strength. I wonder, well,
1 Corinthians 10:4,
what's that?
That was the one that was saying that rock was Christ was a rock.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I'm going to have to think about that one. He is my shield. I know it talks about the shield of faith, but this is he is my shield. Okay. Anybody else? Psalm 18:2. What does that say?
It's talking about the Lord is my rock.
Okay. Well, think about that. You need to know what your rock scriptures are. Because in the times of joy that you're just so excited that you can't stand it, you need to go back to that scripture and remember where you got that joy and where that came from. In times of tribulation and suffering, you need to go back and you remember how you get through this because of the rock that he is to you. So, now let's talk about pillow theology. Sorry, did somebody else have something else? Oh, yeah, I like it. I wonder, yeah, I like that song. Well, it may be. It may be in Ezekiel. Yes?
I don't know if this was mentioned or not. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Oh, that is a tremendous rock scripture. Yes. Philippians 4:13. Yes.
28:7.
Read it for us. Oh, perfect. 28:7. I need to remember. That's my one for this one. I'm going to remember. 28:7. That's one of my favorite ones. It's Psalm 61.
Yeah.
Actually, and you know what? Actually, that's one of my pillow scriptures, and I'll tell you why. Pillow is, well, the rock is the foundation, the hard, when we need something solid underneath us to hold us up. Pillow is the comfort and the peace and the joy. And I know these are interchangeable. I understand that. But I'm trying to make a distinction here that he can be our rock, but he's also a soft place for my soul to fall onto. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I need to fall into somebody that catches me gently instead of landing on the rock, I got to be able to land on the pillow. And I believe Psalm 61 is the one you were talking about, Aspen. Do you guys know that song, Hear My Cry, O Lord? Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry out to you. I can't do it without singing it. Let's just sing it one time. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. Okay, stop. Go to Psalm 61 so you can sing it with me. And I don't know if it's in NIV, but you'll kind of get the, at least you can hear it and read it. No, it's not NIV. Is that the one you were talking about, Aspen? Okay. 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 Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry out to you. And as my heart goes low, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. That is higher than I. I was trying to read the NIV there. From the ends of the earth, I cry out to you. And when my heart grows weary, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Okay? And I know that sounds like a rock one, but it's my pillow one. Because I can fall into that when I need to. What's one of your pillow scriptures? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great rock verse, obviously. What's that? Oh, yeah. Be still in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Carol, what were you going to say? Oh, yeah, I like that. In the shadow of your wings. Anybody else want to share a pillow?
There's two of them that I can think of, what? But not quite like the ones that... One is Hosea 11. I kind of brought it up last night about God's love and how Ephraim kind of is disappointing. And it just reminds me of... Because my dad wasn't as loving as my mom, so it reminds me of my mother and, you know, some of the heartbreaks that we... And she was always there for us, even though... You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bonnie had a favorite verse in Jeremiah somewhere that said something about, I thought you would call me father, or what was it?
Yeah, that's one of
the
God is saying to the Hebrew children, I just wanted them to call me father. And it just sounds so heartbreaking. Like,
I don't remember reading that.
Jim McGuigan lesson. Mm-hmm. And when Jim McGuigan father whose heart is just broken because he just wanted them to call him father.
Hmm.
Left him, you know.
I'm going to have to find that. I don't remember reading that.
It reminds me of how much love he has for us. And, like, no matter what we do, he's always going to, you know, we got to come back to him, even though
we don't always know that in our earthly fathers. Yeah.
I thought it was Jeremiah 18.
Oh, I'm going to have to find that. Penny, were you raising your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They shall not be weary. That's the one.
They shall not be weary. That's right. That's a good one for you, sister. Okay.
1 Corinthians 1:8. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day when
Wow. Ew, I like that. Mm-hmm. Bonnie?
It's Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I like that one. You just know you're not alone in anything that you're going through.
Absolutely. Wow, what a pillow. Yes?
Ecclesiastes 3.
What's that?
To everything there is a season.
Oh, wow, yeah. Isn't that amazing? All seasons. Which means they change. The seasons change. Okay? Who else wants to share a pillow verse? Psalms 121, read a couple of verses so we know what it is.
I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes, back here.
Psalms 119, beginning with verse 105. The Lord is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much, preserved my life, O Lord, before you give your word.
Wow. Do you see how important these rock and pillow scriptures are to your faith and to you being the spiritual woman that God wants you to be? Because in times when you don't have your scripture in front of you, or when you're sitting in an airport or whatever it is, and I'm going to share a story with you this afternoon and the situation I found myself in Moscow, you've got to be able to pull those out of your heart. You may not be able to quote them. You may not be able to find them, but you've got to know how they affect you so you can share that with whoever it is you've come in contact with. So I want to finish with, God has made this commitment to me, and really this is kind of what we've been talking about already, is his double commitment to me is to being my rock and to my pillow. My commitment to God, and this is where we're going to go this afternoon, is twofold also. My first commitment is to his gospel, to his word. And you've already told me some of the things that we need to do with the word, but we're going to look specifically at how we do that. We are to be protectors of it. We are to be preachers of it. We are to be steadfast in it, all the things that we've already talked about. So my commitment to God is to the gospel, to his word. My second commitment, and obviously there's more, but I'm the teacher, and so I get to choose the two I want to talk about. Okay. My second commitment to him is to his people. And we're going to discuss that this afternoon, and we're going to be going into 1 Thessalonians. We've already talked about the love that God has for his people, because we know the love he has for us and we're his people. So now we need to know what my responsibility is to that also, and the commitment that I have to make to him. So I thank you for your attention. Thank you for your patience. And I look forward to this afternoon.